The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie. Your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with pet insurance coverage from Pets Best. Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
Am I doing the right thing with my finances? Am I saving enough? Can I buy a house? Am I paying too much in taxes? Will I be able to retire? Putting a financial plan together feels impossible. What if I told you there was another way? Take Facet's free financial wellness quiz to get your score and a snapshot of your current financial health. Visit Facet.com now and discover your financial wellness score today. That's FACET.com.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth Incorporated is an SEC registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice.
When you choose to earn your degree online from Southern New Hampshire University, you're saying yes to new opportunities and to new adventures. You're saying yes to something big, something you've always wanted to do. If earning your degree is one of your goals this new year, SNHU can help you get there. With low online tuition, no set class times, and multiple term starts per year, you can set the pace that works for you and save money along the way. Visit snhu.edu today to get started.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
MoDo.us. Visit MoDo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MoDo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MoDo.us.
This is an iHeart Original.
It's late summer 1981. 11-year-old Matt DeMeritt is at his house in Torrance, California, when the phone rings. His mother picks it up. Matt can hear just one side of the conversation.
Yes. Yes, that's my son. Who? Jaws, Steven Spielberg?
Jaws, Steven Spielberg, the same director who has spent the past 6 years on top of Hollywood and who currently has the highest grossing movie of the summer in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
In the distance, I could hear my mom and I keep having this very interesting conversation with someone who was interested in hiring me.
That's Matt.
And basically told my mom that they were doing a movie and it involves someone being in a costume. They didn't want to give away too much, but someone being in a costume to walk around.
To put this call in perspective, Matt wasn't a child actor or a performer of any kind. At 11, he also wasn't a cinematographer or effects artist. He was just a suburban kid enjoying his summer before he had to go back to school. And school wasn't going so well for Matt, which we'll get to shortly. But Matt had something no other kid had. Something that made him shy at times, but something Steven Spielberg needed in order to embark on his most ambitious movie yet. A movie that, for many years, held the title highest grossing film of all time. And from a certain point of view, a movie that would feature Matt as the star. The movie went by many different names during its development. Watch the Skies, Night Skies, A Boy's Life, E.T. and Me, and finally, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And for Matt Demerit, it would prove a bittersweet experience, one that would help him through one of the most formative events in his life. For now, all he knew was that he needed to have a conversation with his parents and go meet Steven Spielberg. And, well, there was one other thing.
Mom, who's Steven Spielberg?
For iHeartRadio, this is Very Special Episodes, an iHeart original podcast. I'm your host, Dana Schwartz, and this is E.T. and Me. E.T. is one of those movies that I have such a distinct memory of my dad taking us to see the re-release in theaters when we were kids. So it was very, very exciting for me just to listen to this episode, because to be honest, I knew absolutely nothing about how it was made.
I love it. One of our best episodes last season was the Titanic episode about how the cast and crew got poisoned on set. And it's similar. This is a good lane for us where we have some beloved film and we're getting a lot of the behind the scenes from the people who actually made it.
Yeah. Also, there's big surprises, like the creature from the Black Lagoon shows up. I love this one for all the Hollywood history.
Should we dive back in?
Hell yeah.
In a lot of ways, Matt Demerit's childhood looked a lot like everyone else's, maybe like yours. He grew up in the suburbs of Torrance, a coastal city in Southern California with beautiful views and a laid-back atmosphere. The local newspaper is named The Daily Breeze, if that tells you anything. Matt had some artistic inclinations, which he might have inherited from his father, an illustrator for the post office.
I would draw a lot as a kid. I loved to look at my dad's drawings and ask him to draw me monsters and stuff. I was so fascinated when he could draw creatures for me. So I tried to emulate him. That was what kind of kid I was. I drew a lot and I skateboarded a lot. And I liked to hang out with my friends and go to the park and do stuff like that.
That's Matt. And while there was plenty of normal kid stuff to do, Matt did it a little differently. That's because Matt was born without legs.
Well, apparently my mother took an anti-nausea medication when she was pregnant with me called Bendectin. And that was a popular drug at the time for that condition. And it turned out that there were a lot of birth defects that seemed to be correlated with the drug. And so all the parents filed a class action lawsuit against the maker of the drug, Merrill Dow. Merrill Dow had a lot of lawyers and basically were able to counter all the evidence that they had that it might have caused birth defects. So nothing really ever came of it. Could either have been that or it could have been a natural birth defect. You know, sometimes that happens where you can't really attribute it to anything specific.
For a variety of reasons, prosthetic legs were a poor solution for Matt, who learned to locomote around in a wheelchair in addition to walking on his hands. He even learned to use a skateboard.
I loved skateboard parks when I was a kid. I couldn't do tricks, you know, quite at the Tony Hawk level, but I could go on those bowls and I could do like hand plants and stuff like that.
Matt says that because he didn't lose his legs exactly, he never really missed them.
I just always perceived my condition as normal. That's all I was used to. I wasn't struggling with the loss of limbs. I just always got around naturally. You know, I learned to walk on my hands just like anyone learns to walk on their legs. Reaching for stuff or asking for help wasn't ever a problem. I think I could either climb up and get the thing that I needed, or I always had the support system for people who could get stuff that was out of my reach.
But there were other challenging things about Matt's life. His father had been diagnosed with a serious issue, bipolar disorder. The condition used to be referred to as manic depression. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, the diagnosis is characterized by clear changes in mood, energy, and activity levels. Depending on the particular diagnosis, people can experience moods that range from euphoric or energized to extremely despondent.
My dad was in denial that he had bipolar, and so he wouldn't take this medication, and he'd be very withdrawn, which is one of the symptoms of being depressed. So at times we wouldn't communicate at all.
But there was something that did help strengthen the bond between Matt and his dad. Creature features, monster movies, men in rubber suits. It was a fantasy escape from a reality that could often prove challenging, and a way to get closer to his father, who sometimes seemed far away.
My dad and I used to watch monster movies on Saturdays. There was a kind of a marathon that happened every Saturday on Channel 5 called Monster Rally. And so this, the first horror film I saw was A Creature from the Black Lagoon.
While all this was happening, Steven Spielberg was grappling with something of a creature feature of his own, one that would require Matt's unique abilities, though no one quite knew that yet. By this point in the 1980s, the director was enjoying that rare blend of critical, commercial, and financial success that proved elusive for a lot of filmmakers. His adaptation of Peter Benchley's beach read, Jaws, in 1975, was a phenomenon. In 1977, he led Jaws co-star Richard Dreyfuss to a fateful meeting with aliens in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Raiders of the Lost Ark, meanwhile, was waiting in the wings. It would spawn four sequels and make Indiana Jones one of the great movie heroes. Spielberg's only misfire had been 1941, a big World War II comedy that audiences didn't find very funny. In Hollywood terms, Spielberg had a blank check, the ability to make practically anything he wanted. And what Spielberg was looking to do was tell a story about a skittish, harmless alien who comes to Earth and befriends a boy still coming to terms with his parents' separation. It would be a family movie, something with themes that resonated deeply with Spielberg, who was himself a product of divorce. His parents, Arthur and Leah, had gone their separate ways when Spielberg was 19, after several years of acrimony. His mother had grown close with his father's best friend, though Arthur told his children he was responsible for the separation. It strained Spielberg's relationship with his dad for years, and there's no question it informed his filmmaking. But E.T. would be his most personal work to date. A close look at a child dealing with the anger of a fractured household, not yet able to process the convoluted adult world, something plenty of kids, including Matt, could understand.
It was the story of his youth. It was his childhood. It was his parents' divorce.
That's Simon Brew. Simon is the founder of the Den of Geek website and a pop culture historian. Jason and I actually used to work with him at Mental Floss, and he hosts a podcast, Film Stories, that goes deep into the making of great films. You should listen after you finish this episode, of course.
And the idea wasn't that this would be his biggest film, although you can't ever design how an audience will react. The whole idea was, this is something smaller. This is me going right back to my roots. I'm just going to almost do one for me.
A couple of years prior, Spielberg had envisioned a movie with a spaceship full of sinister aliens descending on a farmhouse. Just one of the aliens in that script, called Watch the Skies, and later Night Skies, was friendly. But after developing the film and even having its alien creatures designed, Spielberg realized that wasn't the movie he wanted to make. Instead, he commissioned a script for his alien buddy story from Melissa Matheson, whom he had met filming Raiders of the Lost Ark. Matheson was the future wife of that movie's star, Harrison Ford. But more importantly, she was a screenwriter who was extremely adept at getting to the beating heart of Spielberg's story, the bond between an alien stranded on Earth and Elliot, a boy mourning the absence of his father after his parents separate. That left just one major piece of the puzzle: how to create E.T. While the technology was rapidly finding itself in summer blockbusters, artists couldn't just turn to computer animation. The alien would have to be in the scene with the actors. Early on, someone broached the idea of sticking a monkey in a costume. That was quickly discarded. Then someone suggested putting a person in a suit. But Spielberg vetoed that as well. The entire point of E.T.'s physique was that it was something other than human. He didn't want anyone to think it was merely someone encased in rubber. Instead, Spielberg approached his Close Encounters colleague, a special effects artist named Carlo Rambaldi. A prop expert, Carlo had helped reimagine King Kong for the 1976 remake. But despite that movie's giant ape, E.T. would prove to be the bigger problem. Carlo was given just a few months to conjure up E.T. as an animatronic puppet. He'd be animated by servos and wires by a team of puppeteers. They would control everything from his eyes to his mouth to his elongated neck, which went up and down like a car jack.
It was in the end, production illustrator Ed Vero, who got kind of the eureka moment of what he was the one who twigged what Spielberg was actually afterwards, that he wanted it. It was described as a combination of the innocence of youth and the wisdom of age. And that was in the design and the sketches that were being done for the creature. There was also the idea that they wanted E.T. to be, quote, a creature that only a mother could love, which I really, really love as well.
Rambaldi was a master, and E.T. quickly evolved into a highly convincing presence with big, bulbous eyes that took inspiration from Albert Einstein. The various E.T.s Rambaldi built could express themselves, blink, move their mouth, furrow a brow.
And what Rambaldi told Spielberg is, you're going to need 9 months to do this. Spielberg gave him six, and they just worked round the clock to put this creature together. And I mean, they really made it. I think they made in the end three different ETs with different electronics and different capabilities within them. And what Spielberg was wanting, really, that he wanted a creature that was slow and sure-footed. And as Spielberg said, he's much more conditioned to a heavier atmosphere, a heavier gravity. And they got really, really forensic on what this creature and what this character was. It's supposed to be an alien walking on a planet which it wasn't familiar with.
But even Rambaldi didn't have a perfect solution for E.T. walking or performing big physical movements like falling down. To try and control his feet via remote robotics would make him look like a jerky marionette or a clumsy battery-operated toy. It would also cost another $1 million for what was supposed to be Spielberg's tiny movie. So Spielberg listened as his producer, Kathleen Kennedy, suggested having a human performer inside of a costume, provided it was someone close to E.T.'s stature. That eliminated most adults. Rambaldi quickly created a simple mock-up suit that the 4-year-old daughter of Spielberg's lawyer climbed into for a screen test. She hated every minute of it, throwing a tantrum. But the idea itself was sound. The kid in a suit looked convincing. Now all they had to do was find the right kid. Someone had the idea to call UCLA Medical Center. UCLA had a program devoted to the treatment of individuals with unique physical attributes. One of the physicians at UCLA recommended Matt, who had undergone physical therapy there. What made Matt unique was how he got around. Walking on his hands gave Matt a very specific skill, giving him a profile similar to E.T. By using his hands as E.T.'s feet, he could step in when E.T. needed more agility than the puppeteers could provide. Matt could tackle stunts that might prove too daunting for a little person inside the suit.
So Universal Studios reached out to UCLA Medical Center to see if there was anyone with dwarfism or was in a small stature that could fit in the costume. And the only one they had on hand who was short was me. And I think they kind of pitched it to them. They said that I could walk on my hands, just like my hands were legs. And they said, that's intriguing. Would he be able to come down for an audition? So the doctor gave him my number.
Matt's doctor acted as his talent agent. Very LA. That's how a producer wound up phoning Matt's mom, and how Matt wound up going to audition for Steven Spielberg, a guy he barely knew. In fact, Matt's father needed to take him to see Raiders that summer to give Matt a better idea of just what he was getting himself into. Oddly enough, Matt was already a fan of Carlo Rambaldi. Carlo had done the mechanical effects for the alien head in the movie Alien, the R-rated gore fest which Matt had seen in 1979 as a 9-year-old. He was a monster kid, remember? So for Matt, going to Rambaldi's effects house was like going to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. He was in creature heaven.
Got in the studio and it smelled so interesting too. It was like a workshop, you know, it was like Geppetto's workshop. It smelled like wood and sawdust and plaster. And that was very intriguing that I was going into this very creative environment, you know, where there are all these creatures that Carlo had designed for other movies.
At the shop, Matt met Spielberg, who did something that immediately endeared him to his would-be E.T. Spielberg didn't loom over him like a gargoyle, hands on knees. He bent down so he could look Matt eye to eye, the same way E.T.'s telescoping neck allowed him to come face to face with new friends. Spielberg understood how looking up at the world can be intimidating. He wanted Matt to feel comfortable.
That was something interesting about him. Not everybody did that. I remember Carlo doing that. And it's not that it's rude that other people don't do that. They just, it's something that some people think about immediately and some people don't really take into consideration until maybe later. He did it immediately, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Spielberg asked Matt about getting around on a skateboard. Matt offered that it wasn't his only way of travel. In the shop, Matt was stuffed into another makeshift E.T. suit and then showed them a couple different ways he got around.
Then I demonstrated to him the walk that I did eventually use in the movie, where my hands are the feet and I lift my torso up so it's not touching the ground at all. My hands amble back and forth just like legs would, or feet. And he said that's the one that he thinks is going to work. And they captured me doing that walk on camera, played it back, and looked really good to them.
The hands for feet method proved surprisingly effective. It gave E.T. the kind of distinctive, not of this earth gait Spielberg wanted, one people weren't used to seeing, and practically no one but Matt could do it. But it would be a little while before Matt heard anything definitive. Then came another phone call. Matt was offered the job. Matt and his parents had a talk. Sure, it was cool, but it would also interrupt the start of Matt's school year. The movie would shoot from September to December 1981. They wanted to be sure it was something he really wanted to do. But for Matt, delaying school was no big deal. On top of everything else, he had the bane of any shy kid's existence, bullies. And Matt's bullies were especially cruel.
Boy, was it great to get away from school, because around that time, I was bullied a lot. That was like the peak time of my bullying. Some of the bullies would come up from behind my wheelchair. I'd take my wheelchair to school, and they'd tip the wheelchair over.
That would be enough for any kid to have to deal with. But the situation at home was also coming to a head. Matt's mother was frustrated. His father wasn't willing to get the help he needed.
They were getting a lot of fights about that kind of stuff. He wasn't abusive, or he wasn't emotionally abusive. He didn't yell. He wasn't that kind of person. But just the general atmosphere at home when he was deep in depression was something that it was great to escape from during that time.
So in September 1981, Matt went off to do something he never dreamed of, play a crucial role in making the ultimate creature feature come to life. Like Elliot, he'd be taking on new responsibilities that would distract him from his own problems. But in order to do that, he'd have to overcome his inherent shyness. while taking direction from the most successful director in the world.
The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie. Your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with pet insurance coverage from Pets Best. Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
For many of us, the holiday season means more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more of your personal information in more places you can't control. It only takes one innocent mistake, even if it's not your mistake, to expose you to identity theft. Not to worry, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Gift yourself the peace of mind that comes with LifeLock and spend more time doing more of the holiday things you love. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. LifeLock, for the threats you can't control.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
Mo-do.us.
Visit MODO.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Mo-do.us.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
You'd think a kid going off to shoot a Steven Spielberg movie would be the talk of the playground, but Matt left to film the movie with relatively few people knowing what he was up to.
I didn't have a lot of friends at the time. I think I told my best friend that I was doing it, and he also didn't know that much about movies and about Spielberg. He came from a really religious background, so his parents wouldn't even let him see any kind of movies. So I think I only told him.
This was probably something Spielberg preferred. The details surrounding the character of E.T. were highly classified. In the pre-internet age, it was easier to plug leaks to the media. Spielberg wanted his young actors left in the dark, making their first impression of the creature a genuine one. Matt, of course, had already gotten a preview. And by the time he showed up on location in Tujunga, California, a custom rubber latex suit had been crafted just for him. It weighed 30 pounds, and yes, it made him sweat a lot.
One interesting thing is, though, that the recipe for latex was much worse back then because latex shrank. And latex doesn't have a lot of pores in it, but if it shrinks, the pores are going to get smaller. So long story short, the costume would get smaller and hotter every time I got into it because the latex shrank. So thankfully, that didn't show on camera. I definitely felt it.
Originally, Matt was hired for just one scene where E.T. needed to take a tumble. But it turned out E.T. would be doing that a lot, so Matt's responsibilities kept growing. On set, he quickly became known as Stunt E.T.
Pratfalls, agility, falling down, all that stuff.
Matt, of course, was no practiced stunt person. But this was the 80s, and film producers sometimes pushed the edges of what was appropriate.
That's one of the kind of dangerous aspects of filmmaking, especially back then, is this like a lot of fly by the seat of your pants kind of attitude. You know, it's like they got to make budgets. They can't go over budget just fussing with something and make sure that someone's not going to get hurt. They put a lot of padding in the costume, so even when I fell flat on my face, there was like lots of styrofoam protecting my face.
One of Matt's bigger scenes as E.T. was when the alien falls over drunk, which, we remind you, is not something an 11-year-old can portray with any conviction. But Matt was up for it.
And I remember being so excited because I was walking very easily in the costume, and I felt like I could do everything that they were directing me to. I could hear all the directions very clearly. I saw all the marks that they wanted me to hit. And whenever they wanted me to kind of play up the fall a little bit, they wanted me to not fall immediately, which is what I did. They wanted me to extend it a little bit and like add some expression to it. And I remember when I did that, and I did that the kind of final fall on my face, everybody laughed. And it sounded like what it would sound like in the audience, you know, when the movie was playing. So I thought, okay, I think this is going to go over well.
In contrast to his problems at school, Matt found fast friends in Henry Thomas, who played Elliot, and Robert McNaughton, who played Elliot's older brother, Michael. There were no cliques, no social hierarchy, no grade school pettiness or cruelty, just three kids on the set of a movie.
We completely bonded as soon as we met because we were like, well, I was going to say we're in the same age group, but actually Rob was the same age as the older kids, but he had more like a youth mentality, and he also knew that it would benefit all of us to kind of like bond together. So we were our own group on that set, and that was fantastic because it rescued me from that situation. It was like just an escape from being bullied in school. And also, you know, who likes doing schoolwork, right? And it got me away from the situation at home too, where my mom and my dad were fighting a lot and going through that drama.
The drama Matt's referring to is a pretty seismic event in the life of a kid. In between Matt being fitted for his suit and the start of shooting, his parents made a big decision.
There was a few weeks before we started when he was living at home. And so when I went out to get fitted, and when I went to Carlo Rambaldi's studio to practice in the costume and meet with the crew and just and prepare before shooting, that's when my dad lived at home. But then when we were actually shooting, my dad was actually living apart from us.
Matt's E.T. family was, at least for a time, more stable than his actual family. In addition to making friends with Henry and Robert, Matt also met E.T.'s other half, This ET was a 34-year-old adult named Pat Bylon, who was roughly 2 feet 9 inches tall and weighed 45 pounds. Pat was born with cartilage hair hypoplasia, a bone growth disorder that can lead to dwarfism. Pat was used for ET scenes that didn't require ET tipping over. For example, the one in which ET is being stashed away in a bicycle basket and wrapped in a blanket, plus other walking scenes.
I remember he was a really nice guy. He didn't have any ego about him. We kind of filmed ET in sequence, or that's the way the story's been told anyway. So I came on about 2 weeks into filming, 2 or 3 weeks into filming. And Pat never made me feel like I was on the outside looking in.
Pat's background was fascinating. He had only recently broken into films, working on a Chevy Chase movie titled Under the Rainbow, a fictitious retelling of the filming of The Wizard of Oz and the rumors surrounding its little people performers getting wild after filming. Before acting, Pat had been a bouncer at a bar in Ohio. It was a publicity stunt for the business, but it worked. He later became a dispatcher for a sheriff's office. By the time E.T. rolled around, Pat was having some back problems. He might start a scene, then realize he needed to rest. Or the action might be too dangerous for Pat, whose condition didn't allow for him to fall down much. That's where Matt came in.
I did a lot of the same scenes that Pat did, and Pat was tired. They'd bring me in, and I'd do like a just the same thing, but it'll be a different actor in the costume.
Despite Matt doing most of the stunts, it was Pat who probably came closest to having an ET-related emergency room visit. Pat was in the costume and sporting a battery pack when the power source caught fire, setting the adorable alien ablaze for a brief moment before a crew member stepped in.
It could have gone another way. It could have gone really bad, but they were just lucky and they got him out of the costume in time or whatever, however they'd resolved that situation. But it's like, yeah, you can't foresee all these things because like you said, it's nothing like this has ever been done before.
At one point, there was a third ET, a woman named Tamara Dutrow, who stepped in for Pat when needed. ET also had a different set of hands for many scenes. They belonged to Caprice Roth, a mime hired by the production who wound up becoming the connective tissue of ET's performance. She managed to make a cohesive team out of the many puppeteers controlling his facial movements, synchronizing them with her gestures. Of course, anyone controlling a puppet will give in to the temptation of satisfying on-set boredom. And with up to 15 puppeteers, there were plenty of opportunities. There are scenes you'll never see of E.T. picking his nose, puffing on a cigar, or pinching the rear end of a passing production crew member. Mostly, though, people believed in E.T. deeply and wholeheartedly. And they believed in Matt, who was coming through in a big way despite acting in a vacuum. Owing to the secrecy surrounding E.T., Matt didn't get a script or see dailies of the footage. He was just living in the moment. But Matt's best memory on set didn't come from a scene. It came when his father paid him a visit. His parents didn't normally come to filming. Having their own jobs and trusting a Steven Spielberg set would be a safe place for their child. The production sent a car to pick Matt up every morning and drive him back at night. So Matt's dad showing up was a big deal.
On one of the days that he was on a manic high, he decided to come down to the set and surprise me, which is great because my mom hadn't been there, my dad hadn't been there, and just for him to share a day on the set with me was awesome. I remember him putting me on his shoulders and walking me around the set, and he was introducing himself as my dad, and he's met Spielberg and Carlo and a lot of the cast and crew. You know, he was with me, he was happy, he experienced it, And I came away with one great memory of him being there with me on the set.
As with most movies, there was a few month gap between E.T. wrapping filming and its release. After returning to school, but before the film had come out, Matt noticed something a little strange. He wasn't being bullied as often. It wasn't because the kids knew he had played E.T. They didn't know anything about E.T. It was because Matt had a secret, one that gave him a sense of confidence and self-worth.
They didn't know why I was gone, but there was like an intangible security and confidence that I got from it, because as soon as I got back to school, the bullying did not resume. It stopped completely. And it wasn't because the movie came out. It was just, you know.
Matt had never intended for his work to be some big secret. But in order for audiences to believe in E.T., Steven Spielberg was reluctant to admit the alien was the work of Hollywood. E.T.'s success hinged in part on Matt and everyone else involved with the creature being invisible. In the weeks leading up to the premiere of E.T., the movie gained more and more momentum. Test screenings weren't just successful, audiences were enraptured, laughing, crying, and falling for an alien who didn't meet what you would consider conventional standards of attractiveness. The reception E.T. received even took Spielberg by surprise. The film made its entire $10 million budget back in a single weekend. It was the number one film in America for 6 weeks and kept returning to that position throughout the rest of the year. It just kept playing and playing. By the next year, it had outgrossed Star Wars to become the most successful film in history. It was a modern Wizard of Oz, the rare family film that didn't pander to kids or bore adults, the movie that became must-see viewing. Here's Simon Brew again.
Everyone at my school saw E.T. at the cinema, pretty much everyone. I mean, it was Star Wars, E.T. and Superman 3. Those were the three things that were most important in your life to watch.
Why did people respond to E.T.? For children, it was that the movie understood them and took their problems seriously. For adults, it was the ability to see through younger eyes and recall the excitement and fears of an unknown world. The next time you watch the film, try to notice how Spielberg shot it. The camera is often just a few feet off the ground, as though the audience is experiencing it from the perspective of a kid or a short alien. For Simon and millions of other kids, E.T. was a controlled catharsis. With his team of craftspeople, actors, and Melissa Matheson, Spielberg had somehow made people believe in E.T. and in E.T.'s bond with Elliot, which made their separation at the climax all the more wrenching.
We just went in to see it. And I mean, all I remember as that seven-year-old was just being traumatized, just being absolutely inconsolable on the way out. And I still get that as well. And every time I watch it, I still get it. But it was a thing. I mean, all we were told going in is you're going to see it and you're going to come out crying. And we still all just went in. Our parents still all took us, the sadists.
Matt went to see the movie, of course, with his parents, and kept looking for scenes in which he appeared under pounds of rubber as E.T. There was the scene with E.T. inebriated, and the one where a Polaroid flash causes him to topple over.
The other scene, so it was all the kitchen scenes. Anytime E.T. is in a bathrobe, that's me. So the scene where Dee Wallace comes home, the mother, and she's putting everything in the refrigerator. She's completely distracted and she doesn't see me walking around her. And then she opens the refrigerator door and it hits me in the face and I fall over. That was me.
In the midst of all this, the media always kept going back to a central question. How had E.T. been cobbled together to make for one of the few truly convincing creatures in movie history. Time and time again, Spielberg would dodge the question. E.T. was mysterious. Even the first trailer for the movie avoided showing what he looked like. He told the press at the Cannes Film Festival, where E.T. premiered, that E.T. was made out of love, and that it took 12 hearts to make E.T.'s heart beat. Asked what materials were used, he said that, "You will not hear the answer to that question from my lips." It seemed like Spielberg and Universal wanted E.T. to remain an illusion. They had never expressly told Matt not to discuss his work in the movie, but Spielberg's reluctance to explain the techniques used was something of a hint. Plus, think about it. What if a kid in your school said he was in the biggest movie of all time? You couldn't see him, but he was there. It's kind of like the kid who kept insisting his uncle worked for Nintendo. It just smelled like baloney.
I mean, I might have started telling them, and then I think maybe I initially did, and then they'd say they'd seen a TV segment or read in Starlog magazine or something how it was a robot, or how maybe it was just this one actor or whatever, and they disbelieved me. And I think after that, I didn't even like try and convince them. I just figured eventually they'd figure it out.
Almost everyone involved with E.T. experienced the shadow of it. Henry Thomas remembers getting mobbed after the movie came out. Even Pat Bylon got plenty of press attention. But Matt was different. He was famous in plain sight, an anonymous celebrity. But notoriety wasn't really the point. It was about an experience that had come along at a good time. The highs of E.T. were in sharp contrast to Matt's home life. His parents had separated, his father's bipolar disorder going untreated and slowly getting worse. Then, later in 1982, Matt heard the news no child should ever have to endure. Tragically, his father died by suicide.
So yeah, just lucky happenstance that something came along at that time that would bring all this residual stuff that would help me absorb the impact of my father dying.
There's a curious thread that weaves through E.T. From the beginning, Spielberg had envisioned it as a way into his feelings about his own family, the divorce of his mother and father. In the film, Elliot mirrors that same struggle. And in Matt's world, the film had come at a time his family suffered an incredible loss.
I was crazy. I mean, who knows? You know, if I didn't have the cushion of E.T. to counterbalance that, the bitterness of that experience, I don't know what would happen or what kind of person that I'd be today. You know, like making all those new friends and having them as my support system after my dad died was huge. Like Robert found out, Robert McNaughton, the guy who played the Michael, the older brother in E.T., he was really supportive after that. Like he'd heard about my father. Like we gotten together a couple times after E.T. came out and really had a good time. But after he heard my father killed himself, he'd make an effort to come by my house and we go do stuff on the weekends, like go watch movies or go play tag and water balloons and all that stuff. And just do the stuff would distract me of the horror of that time. That was really great. So E.T. came along at a great time.
E.T. never really lost that power for Matt or for anyone. It was re-released in theaters periodically through the 1980s. Spielberg refused to allow it to be available on VHS until 6 years later in 1988. There was a magic to it that he largely kept preserved. There would never be a sequel or even much talk of one. Henry Thomas, who portrayed Elliot, appeared with E.T. in a 2019 commercial for Comcast that Spielberg approved of, but not much else. And while it might seem easy to conjure up E.T. as a CGI creation, or even another latex costume, it's not. Comcast used a hybrid option.
There's a reason for that, because latex, you just can't do a one-to-one copy of the original puppet. Something's going to be off. The paint, the wrinkles, the eyes. I don't know. Well, in the movie itself, you kind of see where E.T. almost has like a lazy eye, because they just couldn't get one of the eyes to quite be symmetrical with the other one. You know, they did a photo session with Michael Jackson. You see, there was something about E.T.'s eye that was degenerating. So, going back to what we were saying about the sequel, even if you got everything right, but you just couldn't nail E.T., you couldn't get that E.T. look, couldn't match it from the first movie.
Matt wasn't completely done with the film business, though E.T. would be a tough act to follow. A few years later, in 1985, he appeared in The Fourth Wise Man, a biblical tale, playing a leper. He also appeared in Cyborg 2, a sequel to a 1989 Jean-Claude Van Damme film that couldn't even manage to re-enlist Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I had a speaking part in that. I'm not in costume. Well, I'm not in like a latex costume. So that was like a futuristic dystopian picture. Angelina Jolie's in it, Jack Palance, Elias Koteas, of a lot of great stars in that. Billy Drago from The Untouchables. And so, yeah, so I had a speaking part in that one.
That was probably my most memorable experience after E.T. was actually doing a legit speaking scene, dialogue scene with those actors. I played a character named Manhole Man. He was like a doorman to the overworld.
But for all of his immediate success, Matt didn't fall in love with acting.
It never felt natural to me. And then the number of roles that come to, you know, handicapped people, especially someone who doesn't have any legs, they're few and far between.
Matt went on to teach English and then got into writing and podcasting. He makes convention appearances, a way for fans of E.T. to put a human face to the character. Matt Demerit, the creature kid, didn't know it at the time, but he became part of a legacy. People who breathed life into fantastic creations. Once, not long ago, Matt found himself at a convention and sitting alongside Rico Browning, the man who played the creature from the Black Lagoon, a 1954 classic Matt grew up watching with his dad.
I was very flattered because he gave me his autograph and told me how much he loved E.T. and we struck up a conversation, and I realized as I was talking to him that, hey, you know, this is the company I'm in. You know, I'm part of this company. I was a man in a very famous creature suit.
This is E.T. for Matt, a time in his life that was a mixture of happiness and loss. The movie is something audiences have treasured, but it was the making of E.T. that allowed Matt to believe in himself.
There's a great word, bittersweet, you know, and I think life is just bittersweet. It's not always bitter. It's not always sweet, you know. It's sometimes it converges into an experience like that, you know, where these two concurrent things happen, both positive, one positive, one incredibly negative. It gave me the confidence to discourse with people and interact with people, you know, because I did have this hook. It wasn't just my disability, wasn't just the subject of the conversation, but this glorious movie that people cried during and laughed at, you know. So it's really hard for me to get my mind around that. So there's always going to be a bit of a detachment from that, like pinching myself. Is it still real? You know, like when I do convention with Robert and Henry today, it's like, I can't believe 40 years later, we're still talking, you know, and we're still having the same laughs that we had back then. And we're still celebrating this movie 40 years later.
The following ad is sponsored by Pets Best Insurance Services. Your pet is your bestie, your therapist, your preferred match. It's easy to love them, even when they sneak your snacks. It's easy to protect them, too, with Pet Insurance coverage from Pets Best.
Because it's all fun and games until they chew on something they shouldn't. With perfect timing, Pets Best helps protect your furry friend and your budget from this imperfect world. Get up to 90% on eligible vet bills for less than a dollar a day. Find your perfect match at PetsBest.com. Pet insurance products offered and administered by Pets Best Insurance Services, LLC, or underwritten by American Pet Insurance Company or Independence American Insurance Company. For all terms, visit PetsBest.com/policy.
Homeowners, if you want to sell your house fast for all cash, stop what you are doing and listen to this, because Osborne Homes wants to buy your house right now.
I'm Alec from Osborne Homes, and we want to buy your house. Nobody buys more homes in California than Osborne. Whether it's a total fixer-upper or in perfect condition, Osborne Homes is the easiest way to sell your house fast, all cash. Best of all, when you sell your house to Osborne Homes, there are zero commissions, zero fees, plus no banks, no realtors, no repairs, and no waiting to close. We buy your house as is, all cash.
Just go to OsborneHomes.com right now to get your free, no obligation, all cash offer. We are here and ready to buy your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to OsborneHomes.com.
Go to OsborneHomes.com right now. Don't wait. Sell your house to Osborne Homes and put the cash in your pocket right away. Just go to OsborneHomes.com. That's OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com. OsborneHomes.com.
MoDo.us.
Visit MoDo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. MoDo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at MoDo. Register today at MoDo.us for your free welcome bonus.
MoDo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MoDo.us.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Attention parents and grandparents. Are you searching for the perfect gift for your kids this holiday season? Give the gift of adventure that will last all year long. A Guardian bike. The easiest, safest, and quickest bikes for kids to learn on. Kids are learning to ride in just one day. No training wheels needed. What makes Guardian bikes special? They're the easiest to ride thanks to the thoughtful engineering, lightweight frames, and kid-friendly components. Kids love how fun and easy they are to ride. And parents appreciate the safety features, like the patented braking system that prevents head-over-handlebar accidents. Guardian bikes are the only kids' bikes designed and assembled in a USA factory, ensuring top-notch quality and durability. They're built to last and make perfect hand-me-downs. Join the hundreds of thousands of happy families by getting a Guardian bike today. Their holiday sales have begun, offering the biggest deal of the year. Save up to 33% on bikes, no code needed. Plus, get free shipping and a free bike lock and pump with your first purchase after signing up for their newsletter. Visit GuardianBikes.com to take advantage of these deals and secure your holiday gifts today. Happy riding!
Okay, we usually cast these stories at the end. It's kind of hard to make this one a movie, and there's also been very against making any E.T. sequels all these years. But does anyone want to pitch an E.T. sequel on the fly here?
Oh, God, an E.T. sequel. Okay, Elliot goes to his planet, right? That's the classic sequel reversal.
Ooh,
that's good.
I like that. That's brilliant.
Write that. You have to write that.
Yes, I'm sure I'll write that. Everyone will be clamoring for it.
I was thinking about a vengeful E.T. later in life coming back. Less of a heartwarming story than what we're done.
Oh,
a vengeful E.T.
He comes back to destroy the Earth?
Or E.T. comes back as Elliot is getting a divorce as an adult, and he has to work through that.
Ah.
Yes. Midlife crisis, Elliot. Brilliant. These are all good, Dana. Yeah.
For a very special character. So in the cold open, that was my youngest daughter, Juliet, who we roped into doing a little voice acting. She gave us multiple takes, total pro. If nepotism is not allowed for these official rankings, but we're cool with looking the other way over to some medical ethics, I would pick the doctor who got his former patient his start in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I'm going to actually say the casting director who's like, we should call a hospital. That's the move.
I'm going with the crew who went and put the fire out. I thought that was brilliant because you got to have those people fast acting, clear headed, no panic.
Also love Simon Brew. Another shout out to Simon for coming on and giving us some Hollywood history.
I love Simon.
Old friend, great voice, good podcast. Go check out Film Stories after this, as Dana said.
So this was a hard one to cast, by the way, because you have the main actor, like Matt, he's got to play himself, right? I mean, this is automatically, this is the Jackie Robinson story. You got to play yourself, brother. But other than that, I could cast Steven Spielberg as Jesse Eisenberg. I thought that one worked.
I could see that.
Melissa Matheson, screenwriter, Emma Stone, but as a brunette. And then Carlo Rimbaldi, Adrian Brody. He feels like the outsider's outsider in Hollywood. I think he can bring that right creature feature energy. And then finally, as Pat, the little person, I thought the actor Danny Woodburn, who played Seinfeld's comic friend on Seinfeld, who's like kind of like a brilliant little person actor, I thought he could give you that Hollywood veteran vibe.
That sounds great.
Love it.
I would see that version of this. I don't know if it's officially an ET sequel, but let's talk. But I do want to see Dana's.
100%. Both of them, actually.
Yeah, my alien. It's sort of like an Alien 3 situation.
Very Special Episodes is made by some very special people. This show is hosted by Dana Schwartz, Sarah Burnett, and Jason English. Today's episode was written by Jake Rawson. Our producer is Josh Fisher. Our story editor is Marissa Brown. Editing and sound design by Jonathan Washington and Josh Fisher. Mixing and mastering by Behid Fraser. Special thanks to our voice actors, Jessica Krajinchich and Juliet English. Original music by Elise McCoy. Research and fact-checking by Jake Rawson and Austin Thompson. Show logo by Lucy Quintanilla. Our executive producer is Jason English. If you want to email the show, you can reach us at veryspecialepisodes@gmail.com. Very Special Episodes is a production of iHeart Podcasts.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
Finding Facet immediately put us at ease.
Facet's innovative approach to financial planning ensures your money works as hard as you do, enabling members to experience the joys of having your finances in order.
And that makes us Facet for life now, I guess.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time! Moto.us.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Breathable organic cotton and moisture-wicking Joma wool consistently provide cool and comfortable slumber. Every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's L-E-E-S-A.com.
Hey there, it's Ryan Seacrest for Safeway.
Planning to entertain in your home this holiday season? Make sure you stock up on all your household cleaning essentials before guests arrive. Now through December 3rd, save when you shop in-store or online on items like Swiffer Pet, Swiffer WetJet, Mr. Clean Brooms, Clorox Bathroom Cleaner, Lysol All-Purpose Cleaner, Signature Select Glass Cleaner, and Signature Select Drain Clog Remover. Offer ends December 3rd. Restrictions apply. Promotions may vary. Visit Safeway.com for more details.
For many of us, the holiday season means more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more of your personal information in more places you can't control. It only takes one innocent mistake, even if it's not your mistake. to expose you to identity theft. Not to worry, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Gift yourself the peace of mind that comes with LifeLock and spend more time doing more of the holiday things you love. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. LifeLock, for the threats you can't control.